Hebrews 13:1 says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. We talked about this passage of Scripture a few weeks ago, but there's been some activities and things that have been going on in our community that has given us opportunity to actually put this into practice. And so you may have read in the paper that there were 160 people that rode on a train going from Garibaldi up to wherever we went to. Manzanita, I think. Not sure where all we went, but praying as we went. Bob and Caroline were singing and leading us in songs, and the train cars were participating. It was a blast. And so I'm going to show you part of today's message. It's going to be having to do with the unity of believers outside our body. Okay? And so we're going to show you a little video of the things that went on the prayer train. You might have to turn the lights off again. You know, I did that earlier. Get out of it and start over. It'll do that for a long while. Let's see if it's going to work this time. If not, it's going to be a short message. All right, so while they're doing that, okay, try again. All right, short message. Okay, no problem. John chapter 17. I don't know how familiar you are with John chapter 17, but John chapter 17 is Jesus' longest prayer that was recorded. Okay? We call the Lord's Prayer that one in Matthew that says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But actually this one is, this was just before Jesus went to be crucified. And he was with his disciples. And he was praying with his disciples in John chapter 17. Go ahead and flip that over to that next. Or turn in your Bibles, if you would. Here it is. Jesus says in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23, I am praying not only for these disciples, the 12 that were around him, but I'm also praying for all those who will ever believe in me through their message. So who do you think he was praying for? He's praying for us. If you're a believer, Jesus was praying for you on that night. And this is his prayer. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world would believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Has this prayer been fulfilled yet? Jesus is praying for the unity of the believers. He's praying that all believers will be one, just as he and his Father are one. I in him, he in me, I pray that all of my disciples, all of the church would be one. Has that prayer come to fruition yet? No, it has not. Several years ago, there was a lady who got up to speak and said she felt like God wanted to, for the churches in Tillamook to be in unity. And I believe that's true. I know that's true. According to what Jesus prayed, I know that's true. So the names of 47 churches in Tillamook County are written on these sticks, bound with a red cord symbolizing the blood of Jesus, which holds us all together. Okay, that's our unity, is in Jesus Christ. And so this year they've asked these sticks to go from one congregation to another congregation to another congregation. Last week was our turn, but that was Mother's Day, so I decided to hold on to them another week. Nope. Uh-oh. One church fell out. They're not. Put it back in.
Oh, no.
That was a really good church, too. We want to keep him in there. It wasn't ours. That's a Pacific Coast church in Pacific City. They're really doing some really neat stuff. Really neat stuff. So we're to pray as an act of symbolic act. We're to pray for the unity for the churches. Last week actually was our church. Everybody was praying for our church. All the other churches were praying for our church last week. So we get to pray for the entire congregation of churches this week. Jesus' desire is that all the churches be one. I'll just let you know, probably the best friends in all the world that I have are the other pastors, many of the other pastors in this community. Terry Sprinkle, Dean Chris, Marv Kazmaier, Doug Edwards, several. If I have an issue, I don't talk to you guys. I go to my friends and I talk to them. I talk to my wife. Yeah. If she's willing to listen. And she always willing to listen. Thank you, Debbie. She's always willing to listen. She's my best friend. But I have some pastor friends, and they're not of our denomination. When I moved to Tillamook, that was strange for me, because we always moved within our denomination. And that was 20-something years ago, almost 26 years ago. Now, I have had some of them ask me to come preach at their churches. I have had some of them to come preach here. And we have that kind of bond and that kind of friendship that we can trust one another and that we can love on one another. And one of us have a heartache, we can share with each other. That's what Jesus is talking about when he's praying and asking for us all to be one. I really believe that there, if we chose to, that would probably put me out of a job, but if we chose to, we could all join together, several of us, churches together, just break down the walls and you couldn't tell really who was who. Because we're very common in our ideas and our thoughts. Okay? Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 13. Go ahead and change that, Laura. She's still working on that other. Ephesians 4. There you go. All right. Paul said through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all." Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until when? We all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So, one of my responsibilities as your pastor is to help you to get to be like Christ. And my job's not over till that happens. Okay? So I think I've got a long tenure. Because we're all growing, aren't we? None of us have arrived. And so all of us working together helps build each other up in the unity of the faith until we all come to a place where we reach the stature and the measure of Jesus Christ. That's a tremendous undertaking, because all of us come into the kingdom broken. All of us come into the kingdom with poor thought life. There's a lot that has to be changed in order for us to become Christ-like. Okay. I applaud you in this church because I see many of you have a zeal to grow to become like Christ, and you are going forward and maturing in your faith, and that makes me really, really happy as a pastor. I think I have the easiest pastorate in the world. You guys are a joy to be able to minister to. And thank you for being my joy. So, with that being said, I wrestled with this. Because there are some denominations and some churches who are no longer holding to the truths of God's Word. There are some denominations, there are some churches who no longer see Jesus as the only way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me." But I have spoken to pastors who feel like there are other ways to get to heaven except through Jesus. Scripture says that we cannot walk together unless we are agreed. Amen? So, I'm having a hard time preaching unity with all churches when all churches don't believe God's Word. And I have a hard time preaching unity between all. And here's what I guess where it comes to is I'm not sure if they're really believers. If they think that there's other ways to get to heaven other than Jesus Christ, I really question whether or not they have ever had an experience with Jesus Christ. Because if a person has experienced the truth, there's really nothing else. And you know that. Like I was sharing this week at a retreat, I know that I know that I know that I know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I know that. There's no other way. I know that better than I know my name is Philip Bradford Smith. I know what God's Word says, and somebody said one time, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, God said it, and that settles it whether you believe it or not. Right? It, regardless of whether you believe it or not, God said it, and that settles it. Period. So, I was talking to someone a few months back. And they said, we had an interesting Sunday this last week. We had a lesbian come and preach for us. I said, that is interesting. What would cause your leaders to allow that to happen? And his response was, well, we're trying to reach everybody. I was a little dumbfounded. But how do you bring people into the light? Because here's what I've discovered with people who have those problems. They hurt just like any of us. And they've chosen to numb their pain in a way that's different maybe than the way you numb your pain. Okay? They're hurting. They're hurting people. They've just chosen a different kind of sin perhaps than what you've chosen or I've chosen to numb their pain. But the problem comes when you put them in leadership positions and you make them a model of behavior. That's a problem. Man, I wish we could reach every homosexual, every lesbian. I wish we could reach them for Christ. And the only way we're going to do that is through loving them. That's the only way we're going to do it. And we have to have open arms and open hearts to them, but we cannot embrace any sin and make it okay. Does that make sense? We can't do it. And so, let's go to the next passage of Scripture. Ephesians 5:25 through 27. For husbands, this means you love your wives just as Christ loved the church and He gave His life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's Word. He did this to present her to Himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Say washed. Say cleansed.
Cleansed.
Say without spot.
Without spot.
Say without blemish.
Without blemish.
What does that mean to you? Yeah. It means pure. Okay. And so as a church, what we're to do is to urge each other, spur each other onto love and godliness. That's what we're to do for one another, is spur each one of us on. I used to have a horse. Well, he was a pony. He was a mean pony. He was a Shetland pony. And we had some spurs, and it didn't do any good for a Shetland pony. You couldn't make him do anything. We had this little swing set and the little bar, crossbar. He was just big enough to go under it. And you couldn't stop him for nothing. He'd go right for it, and you'd go off. There are some people who are Shetland ponies. And no matter what you do, they're going to keep going the wrong direction. Okay? They're going to just keep going the wrong direction. We had another horse named Diablo. That means devil in Spanish. We bought him. He was better than the Shetland pony. Scripture says that we're to spur one another on to love and godliness. That's what you do for me. And I hope that's what I do for you, and I hope that's what you're doing for each other. In Ephesians 5, 7 through 11, it says, "Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of the light." We sang a little while ago about the light. "For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord and take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them." Here's the deal. We can't allow our society to dictate to the church how we should behave. Okay? If we allow that, we're no longer lights. Scripture says that we are the light of the world. You and I, this church, other God-believing Christians are the light of the world. If we don't share our light, how are the non-Christians going to ever come to a relationship with Jesus Christ? If we're walking in darkness, why would they say there's anything different between us and them if we're continuing to sin and continuing to behave like the world does? So, I want to pray like Jesus did, that there would be unity of the believers. But I also want to pray that God would begin to do such a work in our midst. We may be the light to some darkened churches. There was a church in Revelation in Ephesus that God said, "Listen, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to take your candlestick away. And you're not going to have any more light." Man, I never want that to happen to Life Change Christian Fellowship. That we're no longer a light. But we can only be as bright as the weakest one here. And so every single one of us need to shine our light every single day. Every single day. Every single day. And don't let darkness prevail. Scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:24 that a servant of the Lord must not argue, but be gentle to all. In humility, able to teach, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, so that perhaps God will give them repentance, allowing them to escape the snare of the devil who's taken them captive to do his will. The best way to share the light of Jesus is to do it in love. It's not an argument, but it's sharing in love. This morning I want us to take, I'm not sure how to do the invitation except this. We do need to pray for our church. We need to pray for the Church of America. We need to pray for the Church of Tillamook. And listen, not everybody has to agree with us, this congregation, and what we believe. A lot of things are minor. A lot of things are nitpicky about what denominations get messed up over. Okay? Could care less about those nitpicky things. But when it comes to Jesus being the only way, and when it comes to God's Word being our authority, and when it comes to immoral issues, we have to take a stand. And we can't hold hands with people who don't believe those three things. Okay? So that may not have been the way I was supposed to have presented this unity thing this morning. But I can't compromise what God says. I can't compromise. So let's pray. Would you just stand and join hands with the person next to you, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to be holding these sticks that represent the churches in Tillamook County. And we're going to pray for unity, but we're also going to be praying for those churches that are not embracing truth. Okay? Father, I come before you today. Jesus, you prayed, Lord, that they may be one as we are one. And Lord, may they all be one. And here's the reason, so that the world may know that Jesus is Lord. So that the world will know that Jesus is the Son of God. Or that's what you said. And God, we've been very negligent in embracing other denominations, other Christians in our past. But Lord, I don't want that to be the case any longer. And Lord, I ask your forgiveness for our past. And Lord, you said that two can't walk together unless they're agreed. And Lord, so I want to find common ground, but Lord, there are some areas that I cannot compromise on. And neither did you. And so, Lord, we want to be right where you are. And so, God, for these churches that are represented here, for those who have a common belief in Jesus Christ, who hold to the authority of God's Word, and Lord, are not compromising in Scripture, I pray, God, there would be such a unity and such a love for one another, that God, it would be just like they're part of this church. And Lord, for those churches, or so-called churches, who don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is, or who is not holding to your word of truth, and God, who are embracing lifestyles that are not what you would like, then God, I pray for revival. I pray for your light to penetrate the darkness. Lord, that has to be a very difficult situation when people are deceived and they're thinking they're walking in truth. And so, Lord, I pray that you would begin to break down the walls of deception. We come against the spirits of deception in the name of Jesus in these congregations. And pray, oh God, that you would begin to do a work that only you can do. God, we can't do it. But Lord, help us when we come in contact with these individuals, that we could speak the truth in love. And Lord, that your truth with love would break the bonds that are holding them captive. And so, Lord, we ask these things in the precious and holy and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Did you find that? Did it work? No. Okay. You're dismissed.